read a couple verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 11. Let's stand together. Stretch our legs for a moment. We might be here a while. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 11. The Bible says this. Oh, that letter O is real important in your Bible study. Because that letter O represents not just a word, but an expression, a feeling. It's the same word as in the book of Psalms, David said, oh, praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Yeah. It is an expression of desperation. Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, and our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Father, help us this morning, God, to honor you in the preaching of your word. God, do your work, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You be seated. Thank you for standing this morning. Now, let me lay some groundwork here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. The book of 2 Corinthians, I've preached from this before, and I've told you that I find it very interesting because these epistles in the New Testament, these letters, if you will, that were written, most of them by the hand of Paul, to the churches that were sprouting up all over the world, there is a very interesting context to understanding what is going on here because Paul did not write these letters without a purpose. He did not write them just to say, hey, how you doing? You got to understand that this was a man that did not have an abundance of time. He was writing these letters for specific purposes all over the world. And there are a few instances where a church or a person or a group of people receive a second letter after the first letter, and every time that happened, it was because the first letter did one of two things happened. In the case of Timothy, it was because circumstances had changed, and Paul needed to tell Timothy some stuff that he hadn't told him in the first letter. And in the case of the letter to the Corinthians and the letter to the Thessalonians, it was like this: they didn't get it the first time, so Paul felt the need to write to them a second time to make sure that he hammered out everything that needed to be said. Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul took a much different approach. It's going to take me a while to get to this. Everybody just perk up a little bit this morning, all right? If you're in church, say amen. I got nowhere else to be but right here where I'm at, amen? Hey, three of y'all agree with me. That'd be all right. Y'all just stay and the rest of y'all do what you got to do, amen? But listen, in the second book of Corinthians, I find it very interesting because in 1 Corinthians, Paul chided the church at Corinth. He really accosted them and laid some things on them that were very important. He gave them some deep foundational truths, but he also really wrestled with some issues that they were having in the church and really was harsh toward them, if you want to put it that way. He was very strong and stern. But in the second book of Corinthians, it's almost as if Paul looked at it and said, you know what? That approach didn't work, so I'm going to have to come at it a different way. And now he begins to speak to them almost as a man begging and pleading for someone to listen to what he has to say. Have you ever been in a situation where you're trying to convince somebody of something and just telling them that it's right doesn't get the job done, and you get to a point of desperation where you are saying, please listen to what I have to say? He opens this chapter with the phrase, we beseech you. That word beseech is almost, it gives the picture of begging and pleading from a low point by asking and pleading with you. He opens this for making a case. He opens the
this chapter by making a case for how much he has put into preaching the gospel at Corinth. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. He goes on through the next few verses and tells them about how he approached bringing the gospel to Corinth. He was very careful not to offend. He was very compassionate and empathetic in the way that he approached them. And now he is literally begging them to hear what he is saying and reminding them that he was willing to go above and beyond the normal expectations and limitations to provide them with the gospel for the purpose of trying to help them. I understand how Paul felt in this moment as he is saying, listen, I have never done anything but tried to help you. I have laid my own life at a low cost to try to help you. I have put myself in danger. I have set aside my feelings. I've set aside the things that bother me. I've set aside my offenses. And I've done everything I can do to try to get through to you. And all I'm asking is that you will hear and consider the things that I am saying.
Verse number 11. He's laying all the cards on the table. Look what he says. Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you and our heart is enlarged. Paul was saying, hey, I can't put it to you no more real than this. I'm laying everything on the table. I'm leaving it all on the field. Hear me when I tell you what I'm going to tell you. And in verse 12, he reveals a truth that is probably one of the hardest pills for a person like Paul to swallow. Look what your Bible says, verse 12. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now that word straitened has a dual meaning. You study it out and it has a double meaning. Here's what it means. It means, in one sense, to make narrow, to close, or to tighten, to straighten. As when John the Baptist said, make straight the way of the Lord, to narrow it, to tighten it up, to put it in its proper place. But it also means this, to reduce difficulties or distress. I think it's pretty obvious what he's trying to say here. Are y'all listening this morning, church? Say amen. Amen. Here's what he's telling the church at Corinth. I cannot make you do right. You're not straightened in us. I can't make you tighten it up. Narrow the path that you are walking. Close yourself off from the things that are hurting you. Only you can do that. You are straightened in your own bowels. You are the only one that has the ability to do that. And if you don't do that, you're going to continue to have the same difficulties and distresses that you have been having. See, that word straighten doesn't only mean to tighten up. It means to reduce difficulties. Because listen to me, church. When you straighten up, your things will become a lot less difficult for you. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm trying to make it simple for you. In fact, these things are a direct result of the fact, these difficulties and distresses are a direct result of the fact that they weren't straightening up. They were continuing to live their life with the same issues that they had before, and it was bringing them the same results as they had always brought. Because listen to me, let me put it to you like this, church. I wrote this down in my notes. Because if you ain't tight, you loose. If you ain't narrow, you're wide open to the enemy. If you're not guarded, then you are vulnerable this morning. He said, church, the reason why you are facing the difficulties and the distresses and the attacks that you are facing is because you are not willing to straighten up the things in your life that need to be made straight. And I want you to understand, if I could do it for you, I would.
truth, if I could live your life in your place and do this for you, I would do it, but I can't do it. You're the only one. He said you are straightened in your own bowels. There's something in you that's got to make a decision to do this thing right, and if you don't, nothing's going to change.
Amen. Amen.
I came here to tell you this morning, church. All I want for you is for you to experience the joy and the fullness of life in Christ. That's all I want for you. I want you to experience what God has to offer for you. But if we're going to do that, this morning, church, we're going to have to get some things straight. I did not come in here to beat you over the head this morning, but I did come in here to give you the truth. This is the same Paul that asked the Galatian church, "Do you hate me? Because have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And can I tell you something? There's a lot of truth right there in what he said. There's a lot of people that will become your enemy when you tell them the truth. But I need you to understand, I was not your enemy when you walked in the door this morning. And you know that. I don't let me be your enemy when you leave here today just because I told you the truth of what God's Word says. We're going to have to get some things straight. Look at verse number 14. We'll begin there. We're going to have to straighten out our associations. If we're going to reduce our distress and our distraction and our attack and our vulnerability, we're going to have to straighten out some associations. Look at what verse 14 says. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Hey, listen to me, church. If you're going to reduce your difficulties and distress, if you're going to straighten things out in your life between you and God, I want you to hear me this morning. You're going to have to start by straightening out some of your associations. I'm talking about who we run with. Are y'all with me this morning? Say amen. The old saying says that you are or will soon become the people that you hang out with. And can I say something that don't just apply to youngins, friend? That applies to all of us. I'm talking about, listen to me now. We got a lot of people in here that are my age. Y'all are trying to start families and raise families and all of that stuff. And to do that, it takes, in 2025, can I tell you something, young people, don't let this hurt you. But I'm trying to tell you, it takes more money right now to operate a household than I think it ever has before in America. And the result of that is, it takes a lot of work to get the job done. But can I tell you something? You better be careful who you do business with.
Amen. Amen.
Talking about our associations. Who you run with. For a lot of us, we spend a lot more time at work than we do at home, amen. So a lot of it comes down to who you do business with on a personal level. We need to straighten some things out. We didn't let too much slide. We've done a listen in the pursuit. Hey, can I say this morning? Let me be real clear. I'm glad that we've got working people in our church that work hard to take care of their families. And I believe God has blessed many of those businesses and endeavors. Because we have people that it is their priority to take care of their family and to give their family. Everybody wants the same thing, to give your kids more than you had. Amen?
Amen.
We all agree with that? But hear me and hear me well. All money ain't good money. All business ain't good business. Just because there is a return on your investment does not mean that that is helping you to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And anything that ain't growing is dying. And a lot of us have put ourselves in a situation, in a business sense, a financial. I don't know why. I wouldn't plan on getting hung up right here, but I'm gonna just keep circling this stuff till my hook comes out. A lot of us have put ourselves in a situation where the people we are relying on, the entities that we are relying on to take care of our family, do not have the same values and therefore the same goals that we have. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen to me now. I'm trying to be real careful right here. I'm saying that when you associate yourself with something, it's real easy to become a part of it.
Amen.
What I'm saying is, we got to draw the line somewhere. Let me give you a simple explanation right here, because I don't want to get, there's so many things I can get on right here, but I'm gonna just make it simple for you. Had this conversation. That's all I know how to preach is what God's put in front of me. Had this conversation untold number of times. Well, this job I'm looking at, it would allow us so much more financial freedom, but I ain't gonna be able to come to church, but every once in a while. Now listen to me. There are times in life. You live long enough, youngins, you'll know I'm telling the truth. There are times in life. The Bible says if your ox is in the ditch on the Sabbath, you still got to get him out. There's times in life where there's not a choice to be made. You have a responsibility to feed your family, and sometimes there ain't but one way to get that done. But understand, when you do that, you are putting yourself in a very precarious and dangerous position. If I need to get, if this was 100 years ago, stay with me. I'm gonna see if this illustration works. If this was 100 years ago, and I needed to get to England, I'd have to get in a boat. And I would have to put myself in some very dangerous positions to get there. But I wouldn't jump out of the boat and go for a swim. Mm-hmm. If I had to work on Sunday to feed my family, I would do it and have done it and would do it again if need be. But you better understand the danger of the situation that you're in. And this, listen, this is how easy it is for that. It can go from, I got to work this Sunday to feed my family, to now I've done bought me a new motorcycle, so now I got to work every Sunday to make a motorcycle payment, to next thing you know, I ain't been to church in 10 years. Wow. Preacher, that's correct. No, that's every single day. Yeah. I see people in those type of situations. Better be careful about your associations. You better be careful about your about who you hook yourself up with. Hey, listen, can I say something? I came in here to preach this morning. Can I say something? Y'all heard me. I'm not scared of politics. I ain't gonna be scared of them. But if you've been around here any length of time, you understand that we don't have state senators day at Down East Baptist Church. We don't have the mayor come in and make a speech at Down East Baptist Church behind our pulpit. You understand? If Donald Trump was in town, I might would go see him. But if he wanted to come here, he'd have to sit out there with y'all. You understand? Because there's a whole lot more important things going on in here. Hey, listen. Because listen to me. Here's what I know. I see that. I've seen this in the churches in modern day. We've become so political because of 24-hour media and all of these things that's going on. We've become so political. I know preachers right now that have hitched their wagon to so many politicians. If you look up politician in the Greek, the definition is liar, swindler, amoral. Amen. I mean, let's be for real here. I'm joking, but I'm for real. I don't trust now one of them no further than I can throw this bill. Better be careful who you hook up with. We got to be careful who we hook the church up with. Amen. I'm talking about our associations. Preacher, why don't we get involved in this thing that's going on that looks so interesting? Sometimes there's some people involved that we don't need to yoke the church up with. If I put the name of Down East Baptist Church on something, you better believe I know what it is before I hook us up to it. Everything ain't going the same direction. We're Bible believers. And that means something.
You say, preacher, why is that so important? Because y'all don't understand, because you have lived your life in the bubble of Bible-believing Christianity, that we are a minority in this world and in this country. Everybody ain't doing what we're doing.
Amen.
Right now, in Wilson County, I ain't talking about New York City. I've been there, and they're doing all the stuff you think they're doing. I ain't talking about that. In rural Wilson County, right now, this morning, there's quote-unquote preachers going to stand in a pulpit and assent to the LGBT agenda and say stuff like Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, which is a whole hog lie. Look up in here. That's a lie. Tell them I said so wherever you find it. The only problem Israel's got is they shouldn't have never gave back Gaza and the West Bank to start with. Mm-hmm. That's always been God's country.
Amen.
There's, I'm talking about Wilson County, friend. I ain't talking about off somewhere. That's why we can't hook up with everybody all the time. There's things that matter. We got to straighten up.
Amen.
We got to lay a straight path. Who we hitch our personal wagon to is important. Who we hitch the church's wagon to is important. I wrote this in my notes. I'll move to the next thing. My soul, I'm going to be long today. This is life-changing preaching if you get a hold of it. I ain't saying that because it's me. I'm saying that because of where we're at in Scripture. This changed a bunch of Corinthian lives, I can tell you that. You can go study your history out on that. Check this out. I wrote this down. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, whether perceived or intended, is still hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is an affront to the potential of the church. When people can look at a church and see clearly that what they're preaching ain't what they're living, based on the things that they do and the people that they associate themselves with, I'm telling you, it will destroy the power of God within the church. Jesus went to his hometown and said these words, "I could not do there many mighty works because of their unbelief." There is a such thing in the Old Testament. The Bible says that when Israel was in the wilderness and they were rebelling against God, Psalm 78, you go look me up, it says they limited God in the desert. And I'm telling you that we got a lot of people who are limiting God in the station that they are at in life because they're hooked up with all the wrong people. Young people, can I preach to the young people for 5 seconds or more? Young people, if you got a friend that's an atheist, you need to block them. Delete them. Give them the gospel and move on with your life. Jesus told his disciples, when you go into a house and they reject what you're preaching, walk out the front door, shake the dust off your feet, and move on to the next house.
Amen.
Young people, if you have a friend that takes the name of God in vain, you need to get rid of
them. Amen.
And if you don't, it's only hurting you.
That's right.
Amen. All we want to talk about is don't be around nobody that's doing drugs and drinking and all that, but we'll let them be around somebody that GDs every 5 seconds. Come on, church. We'll let them be around somebody that talks about our preacher and our church like it ain't no count. Come on, church. Somebody will say amen. Some of y'all, that's all right. If your toes is getting stepped on, take your shoes off. We'll get it done right here. Just a minute. I mean, we won't let our kids be around people that smoke crack, but we'll let them be around people that run down the church and the people of God. We'll let them be around people that live their life in a way that's contrary to Scripture. And then we'll justify ourselves by acting like we're trying to reach them. Amen. You've been going over to the house for 10 years. You ain't reached them yet.
Amen.
What's the problem?
Amen.
We need to learn how to drop
some associations.
Hey, I'm still preaching to the young people, but everybody hear me right here and I'll move on. If y'all get this, I'll move to the next one. You ain't got to be everybody's buddy.
Amen. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Jesus wasn't everybody's buddy. You know what Jesus had stated by his own mouth? Enemies. I can define that one for you. That's people that didn't like him and he didn't like them. You say if Jesus didn't like people, you better go back and read your Bible. Yeah. I ain't never called nobody I like a whitewashed grave full of dead men's bones, have you?
I ain't never called them a viper. We need to straighten our associations. We got to get this right if we're going to do something for God, we're going to have to be willing to deal with our associations. Not only that, but let me give you number 2, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We need to straighten our alliances. Understand something. We are sitting in the house of God in the sense that this is the place that we have designated to worship God, not in the sense that this is the place where God lives. The temple of God, the place that is biblically defined as the place where God dwells on earth in the New Testament, is you.
Amen.
And me. Look what your Bible says. You are the temple of God because He is in you. And He said, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? What is an idol, church? Well, simply put, an idol is anything that you put in front of God. Anything that you put in a position of worship in your life is an idol. We need to talk about what we make a priority in our life. I ain't talking about what you talk about the most. I'm talking about what you be about the most. I told you I didn't want to preach this. But if I didn't preach everything I didn't want to preach, I'd be the one limiting God.
Amen.
Your priorities are not shown in your conversation. They are identified by your actions. You can say what you are, but I can see what you are. I put this in my notes because I thought it was interesting. We talk about time. Time is a very limiting factor in our lives. Amen. Let's say that you get an average of 8 hours of sleep per night, which is probably high for most people in here. Okay. And you come to church for an hour, 3 times a week. Let's say you come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, religiously every week, 3 hours a week you have dedicated to your relationship with God. Everybody with me say amen.
Amen.
I figured this out. That is 2.7% of your waking time that you are spending dedicated to the things of God. 2.7%. That means that 97.3% of your time is not that. Say, is that a lot, preacher? If I told you there was a 97.3% chance that your car was going to explode on the way home, you wouldn't get in. You wouldn't have no confidence in it. But we call ourselves people of faith when at most we're giving God 2% of our time. And let me say this. If that's all God's getting of your life, I ain't talking about no once a month. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But if that's all that God's getting of your life, He is not a priority in your life. If that's all the church is getting of your time, the church is not a priority in your life. Let me ask you this question. If God will not settle for less than 10% of your income, then what makes you think that you can maintain a viable connection of Him when giving Him less than half of that cut of your time and attention? Ain't nobody shouting glory right now, but I hope this sticks with you. I'm not going to sit here and do the math on all of it, but I'll say this. If I can take a passive look at your life and tell what your priorities are, then how much more can the God of glory know exactly how you feel about Him, regardless of what you say about it? I'm talking about our alliances. Are we God's people or are we somebody else's people? Are we God's people or are we the world's people? The world's got enough people. When you're laying on your deathbed, you gonna look back at your life. Are you gonna say, "Man, I did it. I gave my life to the Lord." I think there's gonna be very few of us can make that kind of statement. I think most of, in my experience of being at those bedsides, most of us are going to say some variation of this: "I wish I had done more. I wish I'd have got in more. I wish I'd have given more over to Him. I wish I would have known Him more. I wish I would have served Him more. I wish I would have answered His calling more. I wish I would have done the things that God wanted me to do more." That's what most of those deathbed scenarios look like. Hey, listen, it's very few and far between that somebody can look back at their life and be satisfied with the fact that they have given it all over to Him. But I'm here to tell you this morning, that is a choice that you can make. You can set your alliance on Him. You can set your heart on Him, and you can make Him the number one priority in your life, and there's no telling what God will do with your life if you'll just hand the keys over to Him. Hey, listen, making something a priority, giving it your attention is not always easy, but it is something that if you are driven in that direction, you will figure out how to make it work.
Amen.
Because listen, look what the verse says. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? How, you know why so many people... We're talking about distress and trouble and all this, right? We're trying to get straight. There's so many people that are living their life in inner turmoil. We are the most medicated society that has ever existed on the planet. We have multi-billion-dollar industries dedicated to helping you unravel your trauma. And a lot of that, now hear me out now. Hear me out now. Because I ain't against all of it. But a lot of that boils down to, let's figure out why I'm having all these problems now. Well, let's hypnotize you and figure out what happened to you when you was 3 years old, when your mama left you at home by yourself for 2 days, and that's probably why you're having all these problems now. I don't know if I agree with that connection. I think the reason why a lot of people are in turmoil is because their mouth says one thing and their heart says something else.
Amen.
I think a lot of people's problem is in betwixt themselves. And they got to live with that. Amen. Because the temple of God can't agree with idols. It's always going to be at odds. When you're trying to be the place where God dwells, but you only acknowledge Him 1% of the time, suddenly you're going to have a fight. Mm-hmm. We got to straighten our associations, our alliances. But I'm going to give you this, and then I might quit. Verse 17. Wherefore, that word wherefore is really cool. Wherefore, therefore. Those are two very important words in your Bible. You've heard me say this time and time again. It's always referencing back to what's been said. We've been preaching what's been said up to now. Wherefore, in light of all of this, how do we, let me say it like this. How do we accomplish this, preacher? Because you're saying stuff and it sounds good and I know you're right. Just don't know how to do it. Wherefore, verse 17. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. And you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. How do we, how do we,
how we straighten our alliances, how we straighten our associations, how do we straighten our attention and our direction. Listen, we got a church. This is really what I came here to preach on. 40 minutes later, I'm going to tell you what I really came for. All right? When somebody asks you, does your preacher preach for an hour? You say, no, he talks for 45 minutes and then he preaches for 15. We're going to have to straighten out our boundaries.
I don't think there's ever been a more culturally relevant point made from a pulpit than this one right here. Because we live in a society that is driven by comfort.
Amen.
I'm talking about our boundaries, the lines we're willing to draw and hold. There used to be some things we as God's people were willing to stand for. And now I find that the time when we fold is when our comfort is threatened. Comfort is the most powerful addiction in America. But it is being used and is going to continue to be used to keep God's people under subjection. I'll be the first one to tell you that I have no interest in living in a world without the comforts of modern society and technology. Amen. Hear me out. I'm fixing to pay somebody next week. I pray God, I hope they come next week. I've been waiting a while to redo the air conditioning in here. Not because anybody's having a heat stroke, just because it's a little uncomfortable. Amen, y'all. I'm telling the truth. It's a slightly discomfort. Right? That's how much I'm into it. I like it. I like air conditioning. I don't want to go. I hear these preachers say, we need to go back to when we had the windows open and had church by candlelight. No, I'm not interested. No. That'd be a pretty place to take a picture, not somewhere I really want to go.
That's right.
All right? But I want you to hear me right here. If we can come to an understanding that these modern comforts are things that are very important to us and that we want to be a part of our lives. Listen, can we all agree? Let me make a point for you. Can we all agree this is probably the most dangerous thing that's ever been created?
Amen. Amen.
Every one of you got one in your pocket right now.
Amen.
I got one in mine. So we better learn how to live with it if we ain't going to live without it. How do you learn to live with something that is dangerous? You create boundaries.
Right.
When you go to the zoo, can we all agree that a lion is pretty dangerous?
Amen.
But I'll go to the zoo and look at one because they got him in a cage.
Amen.
Amen. If you're gonna have listen to me now. If you're gonna have a rattlesnake in your house, you better have him in a good pen.
Amen.
If you're gonna have these modern conveniences in your life, and you are, and I am, then we better learn how to live with them if we ain't gonna live without them. And we do that by creating boundaries and deciding that there is a point that we are not willing to go beyond. The problem that we've got in the modern church is we draw a line and then we step over it. And then we draw a line and then we step over it. And we become weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker as time goes on. Hey, listen, I hate to always reference it back, but it's one of the largest events in most of our lives. When COVID happened, they came out and they said, you can't meet together. And we said, okay, we understand. None of us want to get sick. We'll do our best. And then they said, then they started saying stuff like this. You can have church together with masks on, but you can't sing. You said, what did you do when they said that? Yeah, I said, that's stupid. And then I went and did what I was intent on doing, start with.
Amen.
Then they said stuff like this. Well, if you don't follow these rules that we've made, shut your church down, we're going to fine you. Hey, listen, can I say this? There's preachers
that went to jail during COVID. We ain't adjudicated none of that. We're just going to act like that didn't happen. But I'm here to tell you it happened. And it's still happening in the lives of many preachers dealing with the fallout of that. Preachers that went to jail in America, in states like Texas, during COVID, just because they wouldn't quit preaching. That's all it boiled down to, is they just wouldn't quit. Wasn't because they was being rebellious. Wasn't because they were being they were going so far, and they wasn't getting together and having church and all spitting in each other's faces and rubbing it on each other. No, they would. He just wouldn't quit preaching. You better decide where you're going to draw some lines in your life before you get to the place where you have to decide if you're going to cross that line. You better make up your mind what you're going to do before you have to do it. Because let me go ahead and tell you something. Temptation is a hard, hard thing. Comfort, simplicity is a weapon of Satan. He used it against Jesus Christ. He took him out in the wilderness, and he said, here's what he was saying. He said, I know what you're going to do, and you're going to earn your kingdom, and you're going to do all this, but come with me. If you'll just go with me, then I'll give you everything that you can see. We took him to the top, the highest point in the temple. He said, look around. Everything you can see will be yours if you just go with me. I'm glad it was Jesus and not me. The people that persecuted Jesus, really what they wanted, they weren't mad to begin with. They wanted to make him their king, their earthly king. And they wanted him to overthrow the Roman government. And here's the interesting thing. He absolutely could have done that. You better decide the lines you ain't going to cross before you approach them. Because if you don't, set boundaries in your life, your path will never be straight. Because there's always going to be things that are going to catch your eye. Watch this. Young people, you better decide what you ain't going to do before you start doing stuff. Amen. You better draw some lines in your life. Because then, hey, listen to me now. I love all of y'all. Y'all know I do. But I've seen people with potential way beyond anybody in this room that's ended up, I can show them to you right now, they're somewhere at the dollar store running a cash register because they got pregnant when they were 16 and they dropped out of school and they didn't, and listen, you say, preacher, you don't understand. I can handle this. Hey, look up in here. It's been a lot of good people that's tried to handle crossing the boundaries, and they all end up in the same place. That's why when somebody crosses the line and faces the consequences and still turns out good, we say, oh my goodness, that's so amazing. And they came out good despite all their circumstances. Can I tell you something? A lot of times it's not the circumstances that's the problem. It's the choices.
Amen.
Grown people, let me talk to y'all now quick. Grown people, I ain't just talking to young people. You better draw some lines in your life. You better decide some stuff before you get faced with that temptation. You better decide. Hey! There's a lot of young people in here. Got young kids or are going to be having kids. Listen, is this thing on? You better decide them boundaries you're going to put in your kid's life. Because I'm going to tell you something now. When that can I be real with y'all? Are y'all done, or can I preach a little bit?
Preach
on. I'm just trying to be really, really real this morning. When that coach from that travel team comes to you and tells you how great your youngin is, and you believe them because you believe your youngin's great. They probably ain't, but you believe them. And they tell you, you just don't understand. If they would just come to these tournaments that are every Sunday for the next 2 years, they'll get recruited to Division I. You better know where your boundaries are. When your youngin looks at you with tears in their eyes and says, I don't want to go. I want to go do this. Are y'all listening to me? When your teenage daughter won't speak to you because of your boundaries, you better know why you got them. Because if you don't, here's what you'll do. You'll just cross that line, and then you'll cross that line, and then you'll cross that line, and then you'll cross that line, and then 5, 6, 10 years from now, you'll be sitting here on Wednesday night during prayer meeting saying, "Preacher, pray for my youngin'. They're wayward. I don't know what happened. I tried my best." He said, "What are they doing? They're just on the other side of all them lines you crossed. They're just right where you took them to." Hey, lost person, I'm quitting. Hey, lost person, hear me out right here. When you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and you refuse to accept His salvation by faith, you are drawing a line in your life. And there are multitudes of people who have died, gone out into eternity, lost, and will receive punishment for that, for eternity, in a real place called hell, where they will be tortured in a real fire for a real eternity. Because they said something like this, "I'll just wait till next week."
Amen. Amen.
I tell you what needs to happen this morning. We're getting ready to have an invitation. I tell you what needs to happen this morning. There's some Christian people in here that need to rediscover their boundaries. Might be your associations need to get cleaned up. Might be your alliances, what's important to you, needs to get reset. Might be some boundaries need to get redrawn in your life. There's some Christian people in here need to redraw some boundaries. Need to rediscover that straight and narrow way.
Amen.
And there's some lost people in here that you're already on the wrong path. Jesus said this, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. But wide is the gate and broad is the path that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which enter in there at." Which one are you on? Why don't you stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.